Thank you so much for joining me today on the Sarah Carter Podcast. We have so much to talk about. This is a special. This is going to be a show dedicated to stopping hate in America and a show that focuses on anti-Semitism and why anti-Semitism is so wrong and so anti-American. I'm going to start it off with a very quick clip right here that I want you to hear. And this comes from Rabbi Yisrael Goldstein. And I want you to take a listen to this, and then I want to talk about it with you.
Each one of us need to look at each other as a human being, not by the color of our skin, not by our language, not by our religion, but we are all children of God. And this is what we need to begin realizing and appreciating. Anti-Semitism is not a Jewish problem. This is a problem for the world, and we need to recognize that anti-Semitism has been the longest, the most harmful, not just for the Jewish people, but for the world. Stalin killed Jews, but he killed 150 million of his own. Hitler killed Jews and killed how many millions of their own? The jihadists first kill Jews and they kill everyone else. Anti-Semitism, we need to realize, is not just about the Jewish people. It's about the future of civilization.
Absolutely. 100%. It affects every single one of us. The rabbi is right. Look at what's happening in our country right now. Just look at what's happening across the United States. Look at the rise of anti-Semitism in Congress. For crying out loud, in Congress. And the hate between black groups and white groups and anti-Semitic groups. And we see all these divisions, but instead of our Congress uniting us, instead of our leaders doing what's right, they are taking advantage of it to divide us for political purposes. Look right now in Congress with Representative Ilhan Omar. She is so lucky to have come to a country that opened their, we opened our arms to immigrants from all over the world. That's what we are. We're a hodgepodge of people. She has risen to one of the highest offices in the land, in Congress. She is able to talk about ideas. She's able to teach us about why her family fled. But what we've seen from her is a rise in anti-Semitic talk and behavior. So instead of saying, I appreciate America for what it is. I appreciate America for giving me this opportunity, for letting me make what I can out of my life, for letting me achieve greatness, for letting me be a part of this beautiful fabric, this beautiful experiment. Instead, what we hear is anti-Semitic rhetoric and speech. I want to play a clip here for you. It's Ilhan Omar on opposing a bill. Listen, this is an anti-BDS bill.
I oppose this bill. I would love to have voted for a bill that would have expanded our ideals of fighting against discrimination in being a body that actually stood up against all discrimination. I don't want to be part of a vote that limits the ability for people to fight towards that justice and peace.
This is a group, Boycott and Divestment Movement, which aims to suggest that they support the Palestinian movement, but what they are is an anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic group that targets Israel and wants basically the end of Israel, but it's basically the end of Jews. She will not stand up and she will not speak out against BDS. She won't do it. Neither will Rashida Tlaib, and neither will others in Congress who are now basically signing on pledges, or being asked to sign on to pledges not to support Israel. Israel is our one ally in the Middle East. I'm telling you this now, even though we see, a lot of strength right now between the United States and Saudi Arabia. I'll go into that in a little bit. Even though we see a major connection with the United States and the UAE, United Arab Emirates, as well as Kuwait and other countries in the Persian Gulf right now and always, as it has always been, Israel, since its formation, is the closest ally and most trusted ally for the United States in the Middle East. The most trusted. And the reason is that we're both, you know, similar. We're both Western civilizations based on Judeo-Christian principles, yada, 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 all of that. But right now in the United States, what we're seeing is a rise in anti-Semitism that we haven't seen in the past. And we're also seeing the rise of racial tensions and a breakdown fundamentally in society. Look at what's happened in Portland, Oregon. Look at the people from apparently allegedly connected to Black Lives Matter, the group. I'm not talking about people that just think Black Lives Matter. We all think Black Lives Matter. We think, you know, Jewish lives matter. We think American lives matter. Of all colors, creeds, and religions, all of our lives matter. Everybody's life in the world matters. We do not want to see bad things happen to good people. But right now, what we're seeing in Portland is groups backed like Antifa and Black Lives Matter with capital BLM, BLM, supported by Marxist socialists, basically instigating violence on our streets in Portland, in Seattle, in other places, in Chicago. These groups feed that hate. Not only do we see that in our city streets, we see it on social media. We see TikTok, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, a rise of anti-Semitism there. We see it, for crying out loud, in the New York Times, people. This is not to be believed. These are propaganda messages being pushed by people who hate, people who want to divide us, and people who want to fundamentally change our country forever. This is a move by Marxist socialists. They feed into this, and they have us feed into this so that they can sow the seeds of chaos to basically break us down so that they can do and achieve what they want, which is to fundamentally change our nation. They do not want the United States to be the beacon of light, the beacon of hope. I'm going to have a guest on today. Her name is Leora Rez. She can speak to this in great detail. It is her life's mission, basically, to teach people about hate, to teach people to look beyond what you're just seeing. Don't be fooled. Your children, when they're up in their bedrooms, you know, on TikTok, looking at Twitter, going onto Facebook, they're not just talking to their friends. They're watching videos. They're looking at news feeds. They're looking at lies, many times, indoctrination into what somebody on the other side thinks they should believe. Somebody wants to change the way they think. And for a lot of us, you don't think that. You think, this can't happen to my kid, right? This can happen. It can and it will. Because right now we have seen a surge in hate on the internet. Videos where, you know, young kids are basically treating Jewish people in such a disparaging manner. They think it's normal. They think it's edgy. Leora writes about this. So we need to start paying attention. And we need to know this. I know you understand this. I know you do. I know you're busy. I know you feel like, gosh, I just don't have enough time in the day. I've got to do laundry. I've got to, you know, take the kids to soccer. Or maybe now under COVID, I'm just so swamped that I just don't have the time to do what I need to do. And now there's something else. Yes, there is something else. We need to see beyond what people are pushing down our throats and our families' throats. We need to see beyond the hate. We need to realize that what we're being fed is trying to divide us and tear us apart. We need to stand up to that as Americans, and we need to say no more. That is why I have pushed on the last two episodes. It's on Facebook. Follow me on Facebook. It's Sarah A. Carter on Facebook. Unsilent Majority. It's a special group. We're going to get together. We're going to talk. That's where we can gain our strength from one another. Look, if the left is out there doing it, they're out there tearing our cities apart. Why should we be cowering in our homes? Why should we be cowering in our apartments and hiding in a closet and not talking at work about how we feel? This is far beyond President Trump, people. This is far beyond President Trump. When I tell you that anti-Semitism is anti-American, it's because it is. When I tell you that anti-Semitism is just the tip of the iceberg to spread hate all across our country and divide us and sow the seeds of chaos, it's because it is. I'm going to give you a little bit of background on Leora Rez, and I'm going to bring her in. She immigrated to America from the former Soviet Union as a small child during the 1980s with her family. In fact, quite a few people, Jewish families, came to the United States during the 1980s from the former Soviet Union, Russia, right as it changed. They fled the horrors of communism. The horrors of communism. And now Leora sees that on the rise here in the United States. We hear it every day. Don't pretend like you don't hear it. Every time you see Black Lives Matter on the street, Antifa and these other groups, and you hear the statements of Rashida Tlaib, and you hear the statements from Ilhan Omar, and you hear all these statements coming out of the Democrats, remember, 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 the squad has one mission. It is not to exalt American values. It is to disrupt and destroy those values. They don't want you to have that. You know, Leora received her bachelor's degree from Brandeis University, and she worked in structured finance for over a decade. Really smart. I would not be able to work in structured finance. That would be where it ends for me. In 2012, Leora started her brand, Jewish Chick, on social media to showcase her two greatest passions, fashion and Judaism. But things evolved from there. And now she is the chairwoman, and she co-founded StopAntisemitism.org in 2018. It's basically a watchdog group. It's dedicated to exposing anti-Semitism. It reaches millions of people monthly. And with the help of their dedicated audience and partners, it's now often the go-to organization for reporting and exposing anti-Semites. Hi, Leora. I am so happy to have you here on the Sarah Carter Show.
I'm so happy to be with you.
Oh, me too, because this is such an important topic. And I know I'm so passionate about it. But, you know, just like we said at the top of the show, you know, anti-Semitism is just the tip of the iceberg. Once that starts, it just spreads. It spreads hate all across America. And I said, this is such an important point, because we as a nation can't afford this kind of virus. We, especially now with what's happening in our world, cannot afford to allow this hate to spread. So thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being here
My pleasure. Explain this.
Yeah. So let's start from the top. Tell me what got you first. You have such a vast career. What got you first involved in going public against anti-Semitism?
So I had acquired a really nice following on social media, and I kind of wanted to take it to the next step and actually advocate for something that I'm super passionate about, and that's obviously fighting anti-Semitism. And social media, as we all know, it's the next frontier of communication, or it's, you know, the future of communication. You know, traditional press and newspapers are nearly obsolete, and everyone is turning to the big three platforms, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, to get their news fill. So when I established these platforms, I said to myself, you know, I have a dedicated audience. This is news that needs to get out. And it was a perfect opportunity for me.
Let's talk about that, because our children, the American public for that matter, we spend a lot of time on social media. It is something that most parents think, oh, it's innocuous. They're just on, you know, they're on TikTok making videos. They're on Instagram talking to their friends. They're on Twitter. Tell me about the dangers of social media and maybe what parents need to watch out for.
Absolutely. So we're in an absolute insane time. Basically, mid-March, the entire country, I mean, globe, actually, we were shut down because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And while parents are trying to kind of reshuffle their day and work, what do the children do? They're, you know, they're on their screens, of course. So what anti-Semites have done, they very quietly have snuck not only onto Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, where they've always been, they've essentially infiltrated TikTok. Now, TikTok was, we all know it's a Chinese app. The administration and many people are accusing them of spying on users. We've seen it take a step further that besides they're collecting information and they're watching children, perform these really fun dances, we're seeing kind of bigotry and hatred explode, and it's not being monitored as it should be. And we're seeing children as young as 7 being exposed to things that they don't understand. And, this is where we come in. Our audience kind of submits these TikTok videos to us. And I have to tell you, I've seen a lot of hate, and my jaw is on the floor half the time with kind of the imagination that anti-Semitism has taken in terms of split screens, mocking Anne Frank in a sexual way with catchy music in the back. And again, children as young as 7 and 8 are seeing this. So it's mind-boggling that it's happening. Well, and again, while parents are trying to not lose their minds, me being one of them, while they're trying to work from home while entertaining children and making sure that, their homework is done and they're, you have to feed them, take care of them. At the same time, working parents do not have the opportunity to sit there and monitor what is marketed as a fun dancing app.
Well, that's exactly the danger there. And I was talking about this, and I've been talking about this, pounding it over and over again on the podcast, that anti-Semitism is anti-American. It goes against 100%. Yeah, it goes against everything that we as a nation stand for. But more importantly, you bring up something that is so subversive, because if you think about it, it's not just people who are anti-Semitic, but imagine like communist China or, Russia or Iran or other enemies pushing these type of anti-Semitic, anti-American messages in order to sow seeds of chaos in our country and divide Absolutely. Our nation, right? Could you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And that's exactly what is happening. You have children who, and again, let me take a step back. I'm not on TikTok. You're not on TikTok. Our kids are. And they right. don't have the type of reasoning skills to sit back and say, you know what? This is not okay. Wait a minute. Maybe we should question why, a group of people such as police officers or first responders are being vilified. So the fact that these social justice movements and these hate movements are being targeted to children, and then the children, they don't know what's right or wrong. They take it for what it is, right? They're not able to see that this is completely off the wall. They're not going to go to their parents and say, the police should be dismantled. They're subliminally being shown that the police are there to hurt you, not protect you.
Right, which would, instead of, being a direct message, would instill fear in children early Correct. On. And every time they see a police officer, they would be afraid of them. It's the same Absolutely. Type of, it's the same type of issue that I think you're dealing with when you're spreading hate, right?
100%. So we're seeing Jews control all the banks. Jews control the government. Jews control, the media. The police are bad. First responders are bad. So it's this subliminal messaging. Again, it's not to you and I where we can say, wait a minute, no, that's not true. True, because A, B, and C, it's being, portrayed to young children who don't have the ability to say, wait a minute, that sounds insane. What are you talking about? And again, let's be honest, they're not going to go to their parents and say, hey, mom, let me ask you a question. Are police officers really bad? Are they going to kill me? They Right. kind of, digest it as an as is, which you can't blame them. Again, they're children. And it's being portrayed in such a catchy, edgy way, again, with green screens, split screens, catchy music, dances. They're not able to filter that, whoa, this is like danger zone here. This is not what a 9-year-old's brain should be comprehending. Yeah, but they can't differentiate that.
Well, it's like manipulative propaganda, right?
It's subliminal programming.
But some of it's just so overt. I want to jump to this, you know, to the New York Times really quick, because we're talking about social media and the use of Twitter and subversion, and I see it all the time. And then the more you see it, the more you recognize it. But then you go to the New York Times, and remember, they had that cartoon that they approved through editorial of President Trump basically riding Prime Minister Netanyahu. They made him
on a dog leash,
and they made him a dog, and they had the Star of David hanging around his neck. And it was so anti-Semitic. It was so blatantly obvious that people, when they saw it, couldn't believe it was in the New York Times, right? That it had so explain that, and we'll go to New York Times writer Barry Weiss in a minute. But I want where is this coming from? Why is this happening right now?
So I have to tell you, we actually were alerted to that by when the edition came out. It was the weekend edition. And we were alerted by a user in Belgium who saw it. And we had initially, we were one of the first groups to post it to social media, and it exploded. And obviously so. So at first, the New York Times, I don't remember exactly, but either they tried to hush hush it, or then they apologized. Then they issued a second apology, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, it's not good enough. We're sick of your apologies. They consistently, and they're not the only ones, they have a systemic like pattern of doing this. It's again, very subliminal. This one was not, this was in your face, blatant anti-Semitism. But they were called out for it, and they actually ended, it was an outsourced cartoonist. I can't recall exactly where he was out of. It might be in Europe, but they terminated the contract with him, and rightfully so.
Well, they terminated the contract, but it had to go through an approval process, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, let's talk about how many levels of yays they got. And I'm just curious, at one point, does anybody say there, wait a minute, this looks like 1930s Germany, you know, cartoonist work. Maybe we shouldn't do this. Right. I mean, how long ago was the Pittsburgh shooting massacre? Did that happen right before that? And at no point was anybody like, maybe that's not a good idea. It is mind-boggling
because it was so overt and so blatant, and coming from a major news publication, one that everybody follows in the United States. And I'm talking not necessarily just the citizens, but other news agencies, right? So even the Washington Times or local papers in Seattle, Portland, I bring those up because it's just been so crazy. But they follow what the New York Times writes about. And many times they move on those stories. The New York Times, the Washington Post are kind of the trendsetters.
So absolutely. And I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to say a lot of the smaller regional papers, they look to the New York Times and WashPo, as you said, as kind of the pillars. Right. And if it's okay there, to express not only subliminal anti-Semitism, but this is overt anti-Semitism, then you know what? Maybe we're not going to get in trouble, and maybe they'll get brushed under the rug, but our message will be sent out.
Exactly. Exactly. That's such a great point. Well, it went as far, and I have the story right here, Leora. It's the former New York Times writer, Barry Weiss. She quit. She quit because she said that, Jewish values are bigger than any fancy title she could have had from the New York Times. And she was harassed at the New York Times. She was treated badly at the New York Times, according to her. She witnessed anti-Semitism rampant at the New York Times, and she wasn't going to take it anymore. And she basically came out of the New York Times closet and said, look, what's happening here is wrong, and it's happening across America, and we better wake up to it.
And as a woman fighting anti-Semitism, I am probably one of the very few people that can understand what she was going through, and I cannot blame her at all. The one thing that I'm so thankful for is the fact that we can virtually work from home, because I cannot imagine the mental anguish of sitting in an office of anti-Semites or even self-loathing Jews. It's, I mean, the fact that she lasted as long as she did needs to be commended in my mind.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you just spoke about that. There's been a lot of criticism. Seth Rogen, for example, and I think his mother made him say an apology because of what he said. I mean, his mom was like, "What? Seth, go apologize." Well, Here you have such a extremely talented, handsome young guy, you know.
It's a joke. It's honestly a joke. You have a mega Hollywood hitter who, I don't know if he's just smoked so much marijuana, he's glassed out of his mind, but you have him making millions out of portraying Jews. I mean, he's a Jewish actor, and you have this massive following and platform. And I mean, think just for 2 seconds. Again, let's use some logic. We're in an environment, I mean, anti-Semitism is not kind of like something small. We have two massive synagogue attacks in the past 2 years. So again, this isn't something like, oh, it happened in a tiny town in Ohio or Iowa. I mean, Pittsburgh is a big, big city, and we have in San Diego what happened. You have anti-Semitism blowing up in New York City. So again, I'm assuming Seth Rogen, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, that he's intelligent enough or reads, you know, Twitter enough to see like, oh, look, another Jew got beat up in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the train of thought. And again, he tried to preface it, oh, it was a joke. It's not funny. The fact that he went on, and again, with the podcast host who is Jewish himself, and they're kind of going back and forth about this banter that, you know, portraying Israel in a negative light, and I don't understand what the point of Israel is. You know what? I'm sorry you got a bad education. I'm sorry your parents didn't do a good job portraying the importance of Israel. I'm sorry your day school education didn't do a good job, but you're not the voice of Jews, and you're making all of us look bad.
You brought up something really important there, Leora. The education, because people aren't getting educated. There are so many young Americans, and so many people for that matter around the world, that really, it's stunning to me, don't understand the Holocaust, don't understand the beginning of Israel, why it was established, the exodus from Europe, the reason why so many Jewish families that came to the United States sought freedom and their ability to practice and to be free, and to be free of like... From even in Russia, you are an immigrant. You came here from Russia. So you understand.
We immigrated here when I was a little girl in the mid 80s amongst a lot of the Russian Jewry under the Reagan administration. And, you know, I grew up in a house where my parents basically instilled that you kiss the ground of America, this country. I mean, and again, it's not like we were handed silver spoons when we came here. My parents came here with absolutely nothing. We were political refugees. We were on social assistance, I believe, for a little bit over a year. Everything we had was from Jewish Family Services. And what my parents did through hard work and perseverance, they built an amazing life for their children. Mm-hmm. And we were able to practice Judaism without any type of consequences. So fast forward from the 80s, to 2020, when you have certain pockets of the country with Jewish men afraid to wear kippahs on their head because anti-Semitism is so prevalent. So let's talk about why they're afraid. So again, what the radical progressives and the BDS movement, what they managed to do is somehow hijack Zionism, which basically... it just means a homeland for Jews, that the Jews are, you know, we have a right to our own Jewish homeland. It's nothing more, it's nothing less. Mm-hmm. So Israel was reestablished in 48 as, you know, its own democratic nation. And somehow through all of these social justice movements, it became anti-Palestinian, murdering babies, you know, we're committing Holocaust in Gaza, which is absolutely insane because anyone with a ruler can slightly chart number population numbers in Gaza, and you'll see this, an upward slope. So I'm not sure how that equates to the genocide of people. But what's happening is from this Islamo-leftist alliance that's taken place, they are blaming Jews in Brooklyn with kippahs on their head for what's happening in the Middle East and Israel. What does a, you know, a Brooklyn Jew have anything to do with a country a couple of thousand miles away? Why are they responsible for
it? Well, it's not just that, Leora, and that's such a great point. But I met a Jewish couple. Actually, they're a lesbian couple. This is really interesting. That fled Amsterdam, right? They're both Jewish. They fled Amsterdam because of the rise of anti-Semitism in Amsterdam, in Europe. It got to such a point that people were literally marching down the street in these, these anti-Semitic style parades, literally holding these disgusting and atrocious cartoons and floats of Jewish people. And, you know, they were screaming that they wanted the Jews out. This is in Holland. This was in Holland. So, and look at what happened in France during the Bataclan attack and then the attack on the, on the small grocery store in the Jewish community. We have seen a rise in hatred and a rise that has divided so much of our country right now. Muncie, many people forget the tragedy there, right? Jenny Terror, who works with me, she did an amazing story about what happened in Muncie, New York. And guess what happened?
Which resulted in the death of a rabbi.
Right. Resulted in the death of a rabbi. And guess what happened to us? We posted that story on Google. We put the story, it got a lot of attention on my website. It was on Google. And all of a sudden we get a message saying that it's offensive to advertisers, that we have to change the story, that we can't use the photo that the family gave us. Why? I mean, it was the craziest thing. I never saw anything like that in my life.
I'm not sure why. It's, again, mind-boggling to me. For some reason, the mainstream media is not comfortable with portraying anti-Semitism in, you know, in its true colors and what's happening. And it leads to death, as you mentioned, the Muncie stabbing.
Well, what can we do, Leora? What can we do as Americans to combat this? What can we do to protect our children and to protect ourselves from this rise in hate and to stand up for one another? Because I think that's what's really difficult right now. We have lawmakers who are anti-Semitic. We have media organizations that are anti-Semitic. And I believe purposefully trying to divide our nation. When I say things like, you know, they're purposely trying to divide the nation on black and white, anti-cop, for law enforcement. We're being divided in every direction. And it's so harmful. So what can we do to get on board?
So, right, absolutely. So the first thing that I always say, what starts with Jews never, never, ever ends with Jews. We see this in history. We saw it, you know, during the Holocaust. So we're seeing it again. You know, you have this manifestation of hate, and it's not just stopping with the Jewish people. You have a lot of complaints now coming from Christian communities where they're not able to practice, you know, their religion freely. You have a lot of, practicing Christians and Catholics that don't feel comfortable that they're saying they're, you know, they're religious. So there's a real divide between democratic values and these radical leftist progressive movements. Unfortunately, we have these hate movements combining forces. So the one thing that we have to do is we have to stick, you know, the allies have to stick together. You have to identify that, you know, in America 2020, we have the Communist Party in New York. They're making a ruckus. I can't believe as a refugee from the Soviet Union, my family fled the horrors of communism, that in my backyard, there's a political party who endorses Bernie Sanders, a Jew, which is mind-boggling to me in itself. But we have a political party that is allowed to function freely in this country that is literally mimicking a region that we fled. So what we need to do is scream louder about this. We cannot be complacent. We cannot, you know, kind of brush it under the rug. And the louder the noise that we make, the more efficient and effective we are. We have to go on the offense. If there's somebody that's anti-American, anti-Semitic, you can't stop at, you know, sometimes just accepting the apology. No, that's not good enough anymore. You're not sorry you did it. You're sorry you got caught. So with things like this, we have to be more proactive. We have to hold them accountable, because what we're seeing when you have something that involves anti-Semitism and the Jewish people, it's, you know, it's lower on the totem pole, and we have to ask ourselves why, and we can't allow it anymore.
Well, there is strength in numbers, right? There
Absolutely.
Is strength in numbers. And I think what we've seen here is that on the left, we see a lot of people willing to rattle a lot of cages, right? Speak loudly, get in the streets, create chaos, divide. And the rest of us, it feels like everyone's kind of quiet and hiding back, not speaking out loud enough. And this is not, I keep saying, this is not about President Trump. This is not about the Trump administration. This is about the American people finding strength in one another to overcome all of these anti-American groups. That's what I'm going to call them.
Absolutely.
Anti-Semitic, anti-American groups, right? Because it's
who are thriving on the chaos that's currently
right.
going on
that
right. is damaging everybody. So this is what people don't understand, or maybe they don't want to understand. When the economy is suffering, when cities are burning, I can speak to New York City. You know, we have a Democratic mayor, we have a Democratic governor. New York City is bare. So I know, for instance, when my family goes out for the day or goes out, you know, for a weekend, an event, I know how much tourism dollars or how much dollars in revenue we contribute. That's gone, and multiply myself by millions. So what people don't understand is you're not just hurting, the Republicans, or you're not hurting Trump supporters. You're not hurting libertarians. You are hurting everybody. You're hurting small business owners. You're hurting parents, children. People's incomes are, you know, decreasing. So when the cities are burning, it's not just your enemies that are hurting. Your parents are, your siblings are, your friends are. You know, we're essentially in this together.
That is such an important point. That is such a great point. It's everybody who is being affected by this. And I don't
right.
think people step back enough to realize what's
they
going
don't.
On here. I
they
think,
don't. They're so angry. They're willing to cut off their noses
yep.
to spite their face. And it's mind-boggling to me.
Well,
that,
they won't be able
honestly,
to control
I keep saying
it.
That.
I think, Leora, they won't be able to control it because they've kind of let this beast out of its cage. You know, this anger beast, this chaos, this destruction, and it's being fed right by all of this anti-Semitism, by all of this anti-Americanism,
yep.
by all of this pro-Marxism.
Yep.
That the Democrats think, like, okay, maybe this will work for us in November, and then what's going to happen is. It's going to gobble them up too, right?
Right.
They're
so
not
going
to be able to stop it.
I'm so happy you said that. So when I talk about these radical progressive movements, I'm clearly not. I can't. You know, we deal with bipartisan members of Congress, and I'm not referring to the the moderate Dems whatsoever, who have been big allies in our movement. What I'm talking about, for instance, is Nadler out of New York. A lot of people don't know that. He was just unseated by a radical progressive. His name escapes me, Jamal something. He's a male version of Linda Sarsour. And
explain who she is, because she is very important here. She is a big anti-Semite who...
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, this woman is the poster child for anti-Semitism for me, especially in New York City. But a lot of people don't understand that all they see is red and blue. No, it's not. It doesn't work like that anymore, because the Democratic Party is being hijacked by so many radical Marxist progressives, like you said, that push communism. I mean, and socialism. This is insane. I mean, I'm literally a victim of this. And, you know, we see south of us in Venezuela what's happening. How could
yes.
you possibly, you know, forget what happened in the 80s, 70s? I mean, that was a long time ago, right? But this is in 2020. We can look at, you know, there's testimony, modern day testimony from Venezuela. Yet we have members of our government and people running and getting elected into office, pushing these insane ideas. And
right.
with these ideas comes even more division, more hatred, and of course, who's always in the center of it are Jews.
Right. And I want to stress, I understand where you're coming from. I know you came here as an immigrant. My mother came as an immigrant on my mom's side of the family from Cuba, fled communism. It was the same thing, though she came in the 1960s. So I fully understand. And that's exactly the way my mom raised me. You kiss the ground that you walk on. This is the most amazing country on earth. There is no other nation that will open up its arms. And once this is gone, it will be gone forever. Leora, where can people get volunteer? Where can they go to be a part of what you're doing at stopantisemitism.org?
You just said it. Yep. That's the name. We're nice and simple. Stopantisemitism.org. We're on all three social media platforms. Stop Antisemitism. We have a really nice following. We have a super, super dedicated audience that really, you know, is the first source of anti-Semitic incidents for us. And, you know, we'd love for others to come join this fight.
Well, I think everyone out there, if you're listening to Leora right now, you want to be a part of this, please, please, please go to stopantisemitism.org. It's so important. We all need to be a part of this fight, and together we can make a difference. Let's together speak up. It doesn't matter. You don't need to be Jewish to go to stopantisemitism.org. This is not about being Jewish. This is about being an American, wow, and fighting hate at every corner, and especially when you see anti-Semitic hate, because you know that's just the tip of the iceberg. Yep. It's just the beginning of everything. Thank you so much, Leora. You're awesome. I can't wait to have you back on the show.
Such a pleasure talking. Thanks.
Look, there is a wave of hatred going across this country, in certain parts of this country, that we need to remain very aware of. This is exactly what Leora Rez was saying, right? This is not just about anti-Semitism. This is anti-Americanism. I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened in New York. I mean, Leora brought it up. You know, we had a longtime incumbent, Representative Elliot Engel. He was a Democrat. He was literally unseated by the most radical person in New York. I mean, I know Leora said Nadler, but she and I were talking about it before the show, and it was Elliot Engel. And I mean, this is something that we have to look at. Look at what happened. Look what happened in Minnesota. Look at what's happening across our country. I mean, we have radical lawmakers now in place. We have Joe Biden, right, succumbing to their demands, their Marxist socialist demands, this whole Green New Deal under Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I mean, that nobody in the Senate even wanted to pass, which is completely insane. If you read it on its face, you know, Joe Biden's made her his like chair, his head of environment. Like, she doesn't even have a degree in environmentalism. Like, there's nothing about her that could bring us any eye-opening new information on the environment. This is complete insanity. But more importantly, it's about us finding strength in each other. And the reason why I did this special with Leora, and the reason why I will continue to do these specials and bring people on to talk about hate in America and the rise of hate in America, is because we as a nation have to be willing to stand up to it in all of its forms, in all of its forms, from the death of George Floyd, but without harming each other. We shouldn't be hijacked and used. We shouldn't be used as tools to destroy our own cities. And we shouldn't be afraid to tell the truth. Don't allow people to manipulate you. Don't allow Ilhan Omar to tell you lies about America. There is no place else on planet Earth that is like this nation. This is it, folks. Once we're gone, where are you going to immigrate to? Where are you going to go? Where are we going to go? This is it. This is what we have to protect. And we have to protect one another. We are all immigrants. We all make this beautiful fabric of our country. We are not filled with hate. We are not hate-filled people. We come here and we learn from one another. We build our family restaurants. We open our small businesses. We support our local people in our communities. We go to synagogue. We go to Catholic church. We go to Christian church. We're born again. We're Baptist. We're Muslim. We are Hindu. We are Buddhist. We're all a part of this great fabric of America. And so My message for you today is to just take a moment and just stop by stopantisemitism.org. Take a look at it. Doesn't matter if you're Jewish or non-Jewish. When you see your children on TikTok, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and you see something wrong, you see some video that's filled with hate, report it. Let people know it's out there. Let's hold our companies and corporations accountable for what they put out there. Do what Barry Weiss did at the New York Times and stand up to hate. I mean, look, just because they're the New York Times doesn't mean there isn't hate there. We got to stand up to that too, whether it's a small group or a large group. And remember, you can always find me right here, even if you're at home doing the laundry, even if you're making dinner, even if you're sitting around in the living room, got nothing to do, tired of watching Netflix. You can come join me here and we will talk about things that mean something to you, mean something to your family, and mean something to me. Thank you again for joining the Sarah Carter podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Carter DC or at sarahacarter.com for the latest stories. Please go to sarahacarter.com for the latest stories. We're always posting right there. I'm on YouTube as Sarah Carter and on Parler at Sarah Carter Official. Remember to subscribe to Apple, Spreaker, or wherever you get your latest podcast, and give us a 5-star rating on your app. We are taking the story back, America. Thank you for joining me.